Welcome to the State of Energy podcast. My name is Rand DeWitt, along with Tom Clark, Executive Director with Rocky Mountain Propane Association. And Tom, we are presented this week by our friend Brian Humphreys and the team at One Tank. And One Tank offers propane tank monitoring made by propane dealers. For propane dealers, you can take back control of customers' tanks and winterproof your business.
Yeah, we've had Brian on the show a couple times, so big shout out to you. Thanks for sponsoring our show today. It's a great product. It really is. It turns all of your customers' storage tanks into your storage. So we've talked about it in the past. It's called that tertiary storage. Brian's got a solution for you. Steel is super expensive right now. You might as well utilize as much of your customers' storage capacity out in the field as you can for your own storage. Contact One Tank and they'll hook you up with a demo. Great people, great product.
Right. It's really bringing the art of propane storage into the 21st century. Find out more by going to one-tank.com. That is one-tank.com. Welcome to the State of Energy, along with Tom Clark, Executive Director with Rocky Mountain Propane Association. My name is Rand DeWitt. And Tom, guess how much I just paid for a gallon of gas?
Oh, you got to tell me. What?
Take a guess.
$20.
Oh, well, dude, a gallon of gas? Okay. Thanks for taking my thunder and energy. $6.47 a gallon.
Wow.
$6.47 a gallon. That's just crazy.
Well, I heard California's got some crazy tax deal going on. They're going to like send you money. It's like instead of how many kids did you have, it's how many cars do you have? We're going to send you a monthly check for each car. Is that true?
Well, Governor Nuisance out here is talking about sending everyone people that own cars $400 a month but get this. They're going to send it to people that have EVs.
Oh.
They're not going to send it to people who have fleets of vehicles.
Oh, wow.
Who's getting hurt the worst? These small businesses that have 5-6 trucks.
Man, it doesn't make any sense at all.
No, it doesn't. But you know what, folks? We got to talk about what's happening in Nashville, April 24th through the 26th. We're going to be doing the show on the road.
On the road.
From the Music City Center. It's the 2022 NPGA Southeastern Convention and International Propane Expo. If you by chance are going to be there, please find us over at our booth. We're going to be doing the show, and we'd love to have people on and join us.
Absolutely. It's going to be a great time. Stop by, say hi. We might have some swag to give away for you. Jump on the show, talk to us for a few minutes, and we'll get you on the next episode after the show.
Yeah, but book your airline tickets as soon as possible. Because due to the rise in fuel prices, airline tickets are going up by an average of 7% a month. And it's forecasted that travelers will experience 2019 pre-pandemic prices starting next month. So get this, a flight from Chicago to Los Angeles cost $118 in March 2020. Versus what's going to be $320 in March of 22.
And I just booked my trip to Nashville, and I was like, holy cow, this is... I usually get, you know, not all the way to the front like you, but kind of like that that middle economy comfort area. I had to sit in the back of the plane now.
Yeah, well, it's the safest place to sit, by the way.
Is it?
Uh-huh. Yeah, if you notice that if a plane goes down, usually the people in the back of the plane are the ones that live.
Oh, wow.
Hey, folks, propane is ready for action right now. It's for your home, your business, your farm, for fleets of buses, or is great for any fleet vehicle. On this show, The State of Energy, we discuss how propane can do that. Propane is dynamic, it's clean, it's affordable, it's energy ready for action right now. And if you go to thestateofenergy.com, Tom, what will they find?
Man, you'll be able to find all of our past episodes, right? So we got we're on season 3 now. So we got all the stuff we talk about on this show, it's real stuff. Most of them are stories and articles and things that are going on in the world right now. This isn't stuff we just made up. We'll have a link to everything that we talk about. So if you're interested in learning more about these situations that we're talking about, jump on our website, listen to some past episodes. We also have links to our sponsors. We have links to findapropanejob.com. We have links to some different incentives that we have, some rebates for some clean propane burning appliances. So a safe appliance rebate is what we call it.
And so everyone understands, we're not anti-electric, wind, hydro, or solar. We just believe propane should be a part of a well-balanced energy plan, all of us working together to accomplish the goals of clean energy, affordability, and security, because propane is energy for everyone.
Yeah, and energy security is huge right now. I mean, everybody's talking about it all around the world, really. I mean, it's no secret what's going on in Ukraine.
Yeah, I mean, there's a story that you sent over from CNN talking about Jamie Dimon, who's the CEO of JP Morgan Chase, telling President Biden that we need a Marshall Plan for U.S. and European energy security.
Yeah, and that's a plan that was way back in the 40s from World War II. They called it it was a Secretary of State George Marshall. So he's referring to that, you know, things that happened a long time ago.
Yeah, not Marshall.
Not
law.
Marshall law.
Not gonna have Marines at the gas station filling up your car.
But what he's calling for is increased production of natural gas, liquefied natural gas, hydrogen, all clean fuels. But still, you have to go and get them. They're in the ground. We have to drill. We have to get these resources out of the ground. And he's not the only one that's calling for this, because
no, your boy Elon Musk.
Yeah, Elon's no dummy. He knows that we can't just flip a switch and have all the solar panels and wind create enough energy for everybody. And Elon has been tweeting about it.
Yeah, he says that he says, quote unquote, I hate to say it, but we need to start drilling now. He said, obviously, this will negatively affect what I'm trying to do at Tesla, but it's going to be better for humanity as a whole.
Yeah. The thing that he doesn't say is most of the electricity that's created to charge his cars comes from oil and gas. And that's why he said, we need more oil and gas or else you won't be able to drive my Tesla. I mean, he's a smart guy.
Yeah.
Right. So he knows what's going on, and he knows that if you really, really want to be able to drive that Tesla much longer, we're going to need some more gas to run these power plants, because there's just not enough wind and solar to go around.
And, you know, we actually have to tip our hat to Elon Musk for what he's done to help the Ukrainians, because his Starlink satellites are helping the Ukraine's military drone unit destroy Russian tanks at night. I mean, this is amazing what he's done.
Yeah, this technology is pretty cool stuff. The thing that really gets me fired up about it is just the amount of information out there that's false. I mean, it is great technology, but it's not as clean as people think. There's no such thing as zero emissions. And when we see all this news that comes out about, oh, zero emissions, zero emissions, zero emissions, it's kind of like that zero emissions news that you can see on Zion's National Park shuttle website. You know, it says Zion's National Park is going to get 30 zero emissions buses. And you're talking about a giant bus that's running on electricity produced by coal in Utah. And we already have a whole bunch of propane powered buses there, but they're old. So they got to get rid of the clean propane bus and switch it over to this giant, dirty electric bus. You know what that reminds me of? That's like
high school.
That's like going, no, it's like getting out of bed in the morning, taking a shower, and putting on a dirty pair of underwear.
You know what? That's very well put. You know, I think we need to make t-shirts with that quote and your name at the bottom of it. I think that's very important. And folks, like we've been talking about, we're not anti-electric. We're not. We're just saying that there's big issues with the rush. For instance, Tom, guess how many pounds of coal it would take to drive to Salt Lake from Las Vegas and back in an EV?
Oh, man. Are we going to count like the amount of coal that it takes to produce the car too? Or are we just talking driving down the road?
No, we're talking just driving.
I don't know. What, a couple hundred?
250 pounds of coal for one trip to Salt Lake from Las Vegas and back. 250 pounds of coal in an EV.
That's because all this power around here is created by coal. And it really, that's that one thing that people just don't understand. We need a clean energy future. There's no doubt about it. But we have to be a little bit more responsible and a little bit more informative of how we get this clean energy. It's kind of
when working together, we got to work together with the other clean energy avenues along with propane.
Yeah, we've seen what Governor Utah Governor Spencer Cox said to President Biden. He sent a message off to Biden, and he says, as a Western public land state, we have an interest in seeing these resources developed, and the U.S. policy is discouraging that for the development of oil in our own lands. And this is not, we're not talking about just dirty oil. We're talking about some clean natural gas and propane as well. And if we can't get it from our own lands, then we have to rely on European or Russian oil to come in. And that's really discouraging when you think about how much clean energy we have right here. We got a ton of propane and a ton of natural gas right here in Utah. And the federal policy is not helping us get that.
You know, I just think it would be good if the governor of Utah and the governor of Idaho would work together.
Oh, wow. I can't believe you're going to go there.
Because Utah's Governor Cox and Idaho's Governor Little, they could create a lot of synergy, we'll say.
I'm not touching that one. To help I'm not move touching that one.
Okay. Yeah, well, folks, if you know, you know. And now, also, something else that people need to think about, we're in this huge rush. We're moving too fast to try to electrify everything, especially with vehicles, because, one, the grid can't handle it. Two, the material and waste that's need. I mean, it's amazing. Lithium, copper, there's so much waste and mining needed of these these resources to be able to get these cars moving and keep them moving. And on top of that, they're so expensive, and it hurts our senior citizens who are on a fixed income that can't afford a $70,000 EV.
Yeah, and the prices just keep going up and up and up. The supply chain issues just keep going up and up and up. We just saw another ship loaded with cars sink.
Yeah, right off the coast of Iran, in the Persian Gulf.
And this is just going to cause more troubles for the economic injustice for the people that cannot afford these cars that run on electricity. It even goes even further than that when you talk about some of the vehicles we're pushing, like a biofuel or biodiesel or even like the ethanol-based fuels that come from corn, that come from different grains. Because what we're seeing right now is... What do we need to grow all this stuff? We need fertilizer. Mm-hmm. And what you've seen going on in Russia, a lot of people don't realize this, but Russia is a massive supplier of fertilizer for the world.
Well, and yeah, and if you go, I mean, what that can cause, we're going to be like fighting for food and fuel at some point.
Well, yeah. So here's my point on this. If Russia is a major supplier of worldwide fertilizer, and even some of it comes here to the U.S., and all of a sudden the fertilizer prices go up sky high, people will start not growing as much crop. So just if you put this into perspective a little bit, fertilizer went up in price 17% last year, and there's already a 12% jump this year. So when you talk about not only the fertilizer itself, but the cost or the supply issue. So you got the cost, then you got, can you even get it? If you can pay for it, can you even get it? So then people start cutting back. Well, or maybe we won't grow this crop. Maybe we'll do something else here, because there's just the money's just not there. So we tie that in with the crop that we're competing for all this biofuels, what's more important? A clean fuel from corn and grains or food to feed the world? At what point do we have to make that decision?
Why? Everything's going to turn into Mad Max all of a sudden.
Yeah, it's going to be nuts. And I, you know, we've done a lot of different predictions on this, and
we've been right.
We're right on most of the stuff that we talk about, but what's coming next is going to be a major increase in food prices. And I sent you.
Yes, seriously, folks, Tom sent me a picture of a pound of prime. Was it prime rib?
No, it was just a filet mignon.
A filet mignon. $40 a pound.
Yeah, that's right at the local grocery store.
$40 a pound in Utah.
Everything. I'll have to admit, I don't go shopping that often. I usually let my wife do the grocery shopping. And she's told me, oh yeah, things are a little bit more money now. And I was with her last weekend when I took that picture and texted to you. And I was like, oh my gosh, look at all the everything, eggs, cheese, milk, beef, everything has just gone way up from what I remember it. But this is not the end of this. This is going to keep going as long as we have all these supply chain issues and we rely on all these other countries to provide these raw materials that we need to grow the food and drive the cars.
Oddly enough, you know what the price is actually going down? The price of tequila. I don't know why, just at my local Ralph's, you know, the bottles of tequila, the price is going down.
Probably because they moved all these distilleries into making hand sanitizer there for a couple of years, and now now we're done with that. Well, now we need more tequila, I guess.
You're listening to The State of Energy. I'm Randy Witt, along with Tom Clark, Executive Director of Rocky Mountain Propane Association. Tom is the man that knows things. He drinks Kirkland, and he knows things. Which I think is a quote from Tyrion Lannister from Game of Thrones. But something else that's really big in the news that was big last week and for some reason seems to have gone away. It's about the experts reporting that Russia has duped Europe into energy dependence by funding rabid environmental groups. Expert James Carafano says Russians actually fund some of the most rabid environmental groups in Europe. For years, world leaders have accused Russia of funding environmental groups in Europe to steer nations away from energy independence and strengthen Russia's iron grip over the continent. And as nations across the globe begin shunning Russian oil in response to the country's invasion of Ukraine, U.S. leaders are also questioning how deep Russia's ties go into the environmental community here in the United States. And this has been going back to 2014, but people keep shutting down investigations here in the U.S.
Yeah, and didn't the Republicans or maybe somebody from the Congress request the Treasury Department to look into this group of people?
Yeah, back in 2014.
I think there's something new that just popped up this year. Oh. So they asked Janet Yellen to look into whether Russian money financed USA green groups. And this is basically groups that advocate against domestic oil and gas production. And they're talking about this group of Russian financed money that comes in to be anti oil and gas in the U.S. And there's three different groups that they call out, groups like the Sierra Club. And they're just pushing this agenda to stop drilling for oil and gas in the U.S. But then they're okay with bringing all this other gas in from foreign countries like Russia. And we can see what that's doing to us because you don't have to go very far to look at the price of energy right now. Gasoline is at an all-time high. Diesel's pretty high. But natural gas is just as high. It's gone up just as much. You don't see that very, very fast because of the way that the natural gas cycles through the public utilities commissions and stuff. But you better bet it. Your natural gas prices are going to be going up. All of your energy costs are going up. And it would be really sad if this is true and this has been funded by other countries trying to get us to stop drilling so that we can, so that we're forced to rely on foreign oils.
And what's crazy about this, you know, like you just said, hey, we're going to stop drilling and doing this, but, you know, hey, Russia, Saudi Arabia, can you guys kick it up a little bit? Which doesn't make any sense, because here in the United States, and correct me if I'm wrong, Tom, we focus more on making sure we do it in a way that's most environmentally friendly, in a way that these other countries don't.
Absolutely.
Yeah. When we're drilling for fuel.
Yeah, and there's actually some new studies that came out, or maybe not a new study, but it's a some new information from NASA, of all people. They're showing all these different oil fields that are leaking methane gas into the atmosphere. And a lot of it, most of it, is from these foreign oil producers, because they don't have the rules and the regulations that that we have. I mean, it's like the Wild West out there. They just do whatever they want. They're leaking fuel into the atmosphere. That's really bad for the ozone. It's a really bad gas, greenhouse gas emissions. And here in the U.S., our policies really they regulate the way that that's done in the cleanest way possible. So when we stop drilling here, and we have to replace that somewhere, because as all these other people, even Elon says, we don't have enough of this renewable, so we need our own domestic energy. When you stop that and go to foreign drilling companies, Venezuela, Russia, wherever, Iran, this stuff, Saudi. Iraq, whatever you're going to get at Saudi Arabia, all this is really bad for the environment. And it's way worse than drilling here locally.
And where's the common sense in this? Okay, if we really truly care about the globe and climate change, and understand that drilling for oil and fuel and fracking is a part of what where we're at this moment in time, and for the foreseeable future, it's going to play a large role in keeping things moving. Why wouldn't we try to be the largest producer, because we do it in the safest, most conscientious way? Why aren't we focusing on that, trying to outdo the other countries who are doing it not in a way that's environmentally friendly, or to the most environmentally friendly levels?
Yeah, that's...
Follow the money.
You gotta follow the money. And I think we'll see something come out of this request from Congress to look into some of these groups that have been anti-fossil fuels. But the reality is, we need this fuel to keep this world going around. We can't sustain what we have going on right now with just wind and solar. And if we don't have this clean energy that we can get right here in our own backyard, like propane and natural gas, we're going to have to rely on foreign sources, which just puts us at major risk. And we're seeing it right now. We have the least amount of energy security that we've had in a long time. And if that's something that you're worried about, if you're worried about your energy security in your house or your business or your farm,
children's future,
get some propane, get your house to run on propane, get a backup generator to run on propane, get your vehicles to run on propane. And there's lots of options. If you're used to if you got a farm, or you're a trucking company, and you got some big diesel powered trucks, there's a brand new engine coming out from Cummins that runs on propane. Mm. You can get almost any vehicle that you have to run on propane, small engines, lawnmowers, any type of landscaping equipment. You can have that all run on propane. It's clean. It's made right here in the U.S. There's plenty of propane to go around, and it gives you that energy security that you need to be able to continue your business and fight these cost increases. Because if you look at the price of gasoline right now versus the price of propane, it's about half. Mm-hmm. So that can you imagine if you were a big fleet that was running your vehicles on propane right now? You'd be dancing every day after work because you just saved so much money versus your competitors that are crying at the pump and they can't raise their prices fast enough to keep up with these high prices of gasoline.
I just would love to be able to ask President Biden or anyone else that's applauding the U.S. pulling back, canceling the Keystone Pipeline, all the furor around, you know, Line 5. Hey, you guys are all happy that we're moving this stuff to other countries. Why wouldn't you want to have us doing it? Because we do, we pay so much attention to the environmental impact when we're drilling, to the levels that the other countries are not. I wish somebody would answer those questions, or at least ask that questions, those questions to the powers that be, so we can get clear answers. Because it doesn't make any sense if you truly care about the globe and the future and the climate and know that these things are going to happen. Why are you celebrating pushing it offshore when that's harming the environment on a much higher level? It doesn't make sense.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. I think we're going to see a lot of people asking these questions now, because questions don't ever get asked when things are just hunky-dory. But as soon as all of a sudden we're scratching our head going, where's the food? Where's the gas? Where's the cars? What's going on? All of a sudden, there's going to be a big eye-opener coming.
That is the Really Smart Guy, Tom Clark, Executive Director with Rocky Mountain Propane Association. My name is Randy Witt, and we're always online at thestateofenergy.com.